we want him to share. And Bill and Cindy Garrett, we go back. How many years, Bill? 30?
About over 30.
Over 30 years. One thing about Bill when he was real young, he was the hallelujah man. And I tell you what, he and his wife have affected the nations of the world. And just share. Give us an overview.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm still the hallelujah man. We shout Yesu Alagba. Hallelujah. And that means Jesus is alive. Yesu en yi kakale ni hehama. Jesus is the light of the world. And that's one of the things we'll say has been they've identified us with going into the rural villages of the Volta region of Ghana, West Africa. It has been very known as a land of darkness, a land of idolatry. They're still in their animistic, their cultural practices that they, you know, started out generations prior. And so we have gone in, my wife and I have gone in, the Lord has sent us in carrying a great light. We've been a torchbearer bearing light in a land of darkness. And she was overwhelmed in the early days, and I tried to encourage her. She said, I don't know if we are accomplishing much. And I told her that wherever we go, we bring the presence of God. And that was the strength that I tried to encourage her with. It doesn't matter. You don't have to look at what you think is being accomplished or not accomplished. But our presence brings the presence of the Lord. And so that's been kind of our keynote, is that we go and take the presence of God. And God put a pioneering heart in my spirit to reach unreached villages that have not been where the gospel has not penetrated, where the gospel had not been preached, where there were no churches, and even in many cases there were no roads. It wasn't easily accessible. And so that has been what the Lord put on my heart. The Volta region along the coastal area, we ministering to the coastal fishermen and to the in the rural villages on the backside of the lagoon. They have farming. Of course, it's all manual, done by manual labor. And so we're ministering to the lower end of the economic, scale. The people are just basically struggling for, putting food on the table daily. And some of them have trades and professions. And we've been there 30 years now. And the first 10 or 15 years, we were conducting crusades in the many of the villages, and we were holding crusades. We were gathering souls, planting churches in the villages that were successful, and raising up leaders. The last 10 years, since 2000, we started raising up primary schools attached to our churches. So just to give you a flavor of the culture, I've got a couple of video clips. I'm going to start one out, and it'll give you kind of the flavor of the atmosphere that we're in. And in the same vicinity, we're raising up schools and churches. And so you'll see the cult activity. Okay, this is a village idol at near Haveti. This is at Apira Negba. This is the Apira Negba one. They have, every town has a village idol that they incorporate human parts in. And this is one of the cults that's passing by our home. Now, I'm right in the front yard of our home. There's the dirt road that goes by our house is in the outer skirts of town, and there's a lagoon, and they go down on the edge of the lagoon to do their sacrificing. In earlier days, they would actually sacrifice in our, of course, next to our backyard under the coconut trees, under the palm nut trees. And so each day that maybe a different group would be out there, and you can see they have different apparel on. And so this was a different day. And so they'll come, they'll sacrifice, they'll do their ceremonies, and then they'll, you know, lead their way back to the town. And I just wanted to give you a kind of a, just say a visual experience of this is a regular routine, different cult activities taking place in all of the villages, even the towns. They have, we'll just say, cultic activities. Now, all of these activities involve animal sacrifice and shedding of blood. The highest level of blood shedding would be human, but it's not common, but it does still take place. Okay, this is about 10 miles down the road from where we live at a village called Blakusu, and this is right on the roadside. Behind this demonstration, within just a walking distance, about 100 yards, is where our church is and our school. The children that we are raising up in our schools, these are their parents. The children that we have in our school, their parents are not Christian. 95% of the parents are not Christians. This is the lagoon, the edge of the lagoon that borders in this area. Beyond this bridge, the family that where we started our church has given us land and where we're located now. The children are pantomiming what their parents, they see their parents doing. But when we bring them to the Lord and we teach them about the love of Jesus and we teach them songs about the Lord, they start pantomiming the revelation of the Lord. This is our church. This is our children. We had about 250 by this time. And we're going to sing, I Belong to Jesus, My Redeemer. I am no more forsaken. I am for Jesus, my Redeemer. I am for Jesus, Jesus alone. I am no more forsaken again.
Hallelujah!
Oh, the Lord. Now, we're going to praise Him. Praising when the sun goes down.
Oh.
Now we're going to love Him. We're still going to praise Him. Blakusu was a fearful town. When we went in for our first crusade, they turned our platform over and we were almost martyred. That was in 1988. My wife and children were there. And the Lord protected us. They had to send my vehicle 10 miles up the coast to get the authorities. And when they came back, we were spared. But we went in and we went back and we held successive crusades, and now they're giving us the children to raise in the admonition of the Lord. And so we've had some. You can go ahead and turn that up.
Oh, hallelujah!
I'm still the hallelujah man.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Tap your feet.
Happy and you know it, tap your feet. If you're happy and you know it,
anywhere you want to go,
happy and you know it, tap your feet.
If you're happy and you know it, tap your feet.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, tap your feet.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it,
yeah. He came over. This was a number of years ago when he visited us. If you're happy and you know, show your teeth.
If you're happy and you know, show your teeth.
and you really want to show it. If you're happy and you know, show your teeth.
Okay, got them all lined up.
We're going to quote some scripture.
Oh,
we teach our children scripture.
Oh, yes, Akbar.
Oh, praise the Lord.
We're called Volta Gospel Ministries.
I want to say a meme verse. My meme verse is taken from the book of John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar.
He who says, I know him, does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
My name is Godly Mata. I am 8 years old.
8 years old. No other name under heaven whereby you must be saved.
My name is Afizi Beatrice. I want to say a memory verse. My memory verse is taken from the book of Psalm 77, verse 1. I cry out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Amen.
Now, this little girl is 3 years old. Right next to the ocean, and we built our classrooms out of palm branches that are woven. We cut the palm branches and we wove them, and it was like a temporary classrooms. But subsequently, the ocean came in and eroded, and these classrooms are no more. And we've moved to the backside of the lagoon where that bridge was. But this was one of our teachers. And this is a chalkboard I made at my home. We made the desk. We went to the timber market and bought the timber and made the desk and the chalkboards. And we started, everything was just kind of on the lowest level. Okay, Brother Ben, you can go to the next
exercise.
And several years ago, we were over there. My wife was over there, and we had visitors. They were John Cassell took a tour with Pastor John Snyder, and he had a group with him. He had Wayne Holcomb, Pastor Wayne, and he had Doc Wilson, and he had a whole group. And they came across West Africa with about a half a dozen countries, and they ended up in Togo, the Republic of Togo. With this. Our work is right next to the Togo border, and so I went and met them. I hired a vehicle, and we went and met them and brought them and they stayed at our home for a couple of days. And so this next little clip shows them visiting the work that's next to the border. The work that we just saw was about 25 miles from the from this spot. But this is our second spot, and there's Pastor Wayne, and we built this chapel shortly after the year 2000, and we're putting in the foundation for classrooms to put up permanent classrooms for our students. So we have several hundred students at this location also. We were the first to bring the gospel to this village. 95% of the children are all, their families are all idol worshipers. They're still practicing the cultural practices, but we're teaching them the love of the Lord and the name of Jesus. And so we teach them French in this area because we're close to the Togo border. The Republic of Togo has French as their national language. And so they might be singing some in English. They might be singing some in French. Of course, they sing in their natural tongue, too. You can see the water tank. We dug a well that was hand-dug. It went down 100 feet, and we had problems getting the lining in. So a year or two later, we had to bring a drilling machine in and put a drill. You know, we had to drill down another 50 feet. So now we have a pure drinking water. There was no water in this area. When we built this church, I had to take 55-gallon drums and go to the swamp and dip the water in and bring it in the back of my truck. All the building materials came with, I'm the chief engineer for supplying and I bring the sand, the gravel came from the Volta River, which is 75 miles away, and I had to bring it in my pickup truck. And this was, you can see Doc Wilson and Pastor John and there's various other ones that are there. And so they're just giving them a little introduction to our ministry. They're singing, You are the Most High God. There is none like you. Which this is a familiar song. There's one more song I'm going to sing, and then we'll go to the next clip. We're going to lift Jesus higher. Lord Jesus Christ, you are wonderful. We are lift up your name higher. This is what we teach our children. We teach them to sing songs about Jesus. We teach them to love our Lord Jesus, and we teach them to memorize scriptures about our Lord. In English, yes. English is the national language, but of course their native tongue is Ewe. They speak Ewe. We teach them English because it's the national language. We teach them French because it's the bordering language. And I'm still struggling with English. But I learn bits and phrases of their language. And we're going to be under the canopy now, under the canopy of God, under the canopy, under the canopy, under the canopy of God. He gives me security. Oh, they're just gourd shakers and gourds and... Okay, brother Ben, you can go to the next. And the last clip is comes after this scene, and we started putting the classrooms up. And I'll just show you a little bit of the construction and some of the work that's involved in that. And yes, oh, you got to get people saved first to do the work. The first vision. The first effort, you have to make an exploratory trip, and you have to set up relations with the authorities in the local area, and you have to have permission. You have to get permission to even have a crusade. You just don't go in point blank because the government says you have freedom of religion. You have to get the permission of the local authorities, and the local authorities are heathen. They're cheap. They're chieftains, and they're village elders, and you have to have their permission. And so in the beginning stages, and I'll just share a little bit about on the Volta River. On the Volta River, it's 80 miles. We're on the this site that you just saw is on the Togo border, but the Volta River is about 75 miles in the other direction. And so out on the Volta River, there are villages that have never been reached. You can only get there by canoe. And so my heart was to establish a network of ministry that would go with me. And so because no one was reaching them, even though there were a few churches, and churches would come out from the urban area, but no one was reaching the villages out on the river. And so I went out and made an exploratory visit back in the same days that we're conducting some of the activities that you've seen on the film. And the two villages there, one was called Bamigo and one was called Javi. And they had beaten every evangelist that had gone in to bring the gospel. And for good reason, because they came out from the urban area and they came with legalism. And because the Volta region is a land of idolatry, the ministries that came from the urban area were of a different tribe and a different language, and the idols, they were abhorrent to them. They not only did they we'll just say they were obnoxious to them, and they relayed that to the people that they were obnoxious to God. And so they gave them the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and they gave them the edict that they had to destroy their idols if they were going to have favor with God. Well, they got beaten and ran out. and so I was the next one to come along. About 25 years these incidents took place. And so I met with the village chief and the village elders, and they had great reception. They threw out the red carpet, and because they don't get visitors, especially a white man from outside the region. And so when it was just an exploratory, you know, I was just kind of establishing contact. So I said, this is just a temporary, I said, I'll come back and visit you again. So the next time I came back was several years later, after we had had some construction projects and built some chapels. And I said, okay, now it's time, we want to bring a gospel film crusade. When I sat down with the chief and the village elder, and now everything got deathly quiet. And everything became very serious. And they narrated me the story about the evangelists that came and told them they had to destroy their idols to have favor with God. And so now the conversation was on back in my lap to respond. And I'm saying, dear Jesus, I need an answer from you. And so Pastor David, my right-hand man, we sat there. We were on a coconut log. We were saying, I said, chief, the old chief was an old chief from the old school. I said, chief, the first evangelists came, they had zeal, much zeal. I said, but their understanding was low. I said, but chief, we serve the living God that put the breath of life into every creature. And I said, he has a set of guidelines to follow. And if we follow them, he will bless us. And I said, the first commandment in God's word that has a promise is to honor your father and your mother. If you honor your father and your mother, God will bless you with a long life. I said, chief, we represent the living God, and we will teach your youth to honor and respect the elders. And a big smile came on his face, and he said, Yavu Wezon. And that means, white man, you're welcome. And so that was the beginning of the door. The door was open. This village was called Javi. You can only get there by canoe. And so several weeks later, we went with about 75 of our leaders from we have five churches now from our other areas, and we camped out for a week. We brought a 100-pound bag of corn. We brought cassava dough. We brought a bushel of tomatoes, red peppers and onions, and we had all ginger. We had all the ingredients to make our soup, and we put mosquito nets out in the clearing, and we slept out under the stars, and we showed them a life of Jesus on a motion picture. I have a generator and a projector, and so God's spirit dropped down, and a church was birthed. And so when we were packing our canoes to leave the village, the elders came up to me and they said, Yabu, says, we have no school. Will you help us with our children? Now, I didn't have to go say, let me go home and think about it. And I didn't have to go home and say, I didn't give them a spiritual. Let me go home and pray about it. I said, the light bulb turned on. And basically, I said, this is the Lord. And I said, yes. And so we posted one of our young men. And the young man that we posted was from this very school now that you're seeing we're putting the roof on for the classroom. His name was Gabriel. We posted him there. He didn't even come home with us. And we left him with some cooking pots, and the women from the village, they cooked for him. They gave him a room to, a room to stay. And the following day, the chief gave an order to the village, and they sent us 100 children. On the spot. And that was the beginning of our first school. And so I don't have a video of that to put together yet. But anyway, but this kind of shows you the process. We're in the process of building a chapel there now. And the chapel is going to be about as big as this chapel. And I'll have interior columns to support the trusses. And so the government, after we had the church going, the school going for about 5 years, the government came in. They said, we have never been able to have a school in this area because of the location. And so they came in and they built our classrooms. Government specified classrooms. They built them and they put them up. I've got pictures down there on the table when I got them. And Brother Pastor Mel, I've run out of time.
Brother Bill, you were just telling me. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. I tell you what. This is part of the mission work that we do around the world. Now, you were telling me, as I was concerned, as we're all concerned, you've been there how long?
30 years.
30 years. And changing over. Now, what do you have? You have people now that are running it for you.
Oh, they've been there. Okay. The churches that we've raised up have leadership. Last year we went in ordained 15 of our leaders. Pastor Pat Lyons came over, and Pastor Mike Ritzman and another Pastor Rick Carpenter from North Carolina. And we ordained 15 of our leaders. And but the churches are up and running. The schools, we have 38 teachers on staff, and we are assisting the schools to keep them maintained. But the churches are self-sufficient.
How does that? How many students?
It's between 600 and 700, depending on.
Now, some of them are way back. What are the young people doing now? Since you trained them in speaking the word, and
well, of course, we're just a primary school. We only go up through seven, eight, classes,
mm-hmm.
and then they go on to secondary school. Some of them go on to university. Some of them
and they have the Word of God in them.
They have the Word of God in them.
A nation. How many can say amen?
Some of the children of our leaders have gone on to for apprenticeship or becoming educated, working in hospitals. Degree in being.
Brother Bill, I was overwhelmed when I saw those little children memorizing those scriptures, because I remember. That man right there taught us to memorize scriptures, and they are the ones that stay with you.
Yes.
How does that make you feel now? You can just sit back and relax and just go over there. No, he's doing that more. It's not over as much. No, I was concerned about him.
Yeah.
He was there so much. Yeah, he's going over to end of the month. That's okay.
Yeah.
He still needs to go over and check alcohol on him.
We used to stay 6 to 9 months at a time. Now we've dropped it down to just 2 or 3 months.
See? Amen.
But
that's getting fun.
We go forward. I'm kind of like the spearhead. When we're going into new area, or breaking new ground, or I'm still the material agent, and I draw. I'm the draftsman, the architect, and the material. I acquire the acquisition.
Hey, that truck is not running. That Sister Sangri gave that. He shipped that engine over. That's not running.
It's still running.
Up, You won't believe this. He needed one of our missionary conventions. He needed an engine for a truck, and Sister
Sangri,
yeah. Joy Sangri's mother. Yeah. That was almost 20 years ago, and that truck still. Oh my God! You took that engine over in how many suitcases?
They sent the truck down to Blue Ridge, and took the engine out. Pastor Phil and Elder Larry Jamison and Pastor Phil came over to my house. We took the engine out of the truck. We took it apart. They were throwing all the nuts and bolts into buckets. And my heart was going up in
this is real mission
because I like to label everything. And they were just taking them out and throwing them in a bucket. And I said, no, stop. And I was trying to explain. They said, Brother Bill, don't worry. We'll go with you to put it back together. And so took it to the machine shop in Rocky Mount, Virginia, and had the crank polished and, you know, got new pistons. And we put – I made a special box for the block, engine block, and that was over 70-pound limit. So the airline, they gave me a little hard time about that. But I had six suitcases, and I had a whole engine in the – and we all went over together, and the miracle was getting through customs. And so when I got into the airport and all the bags started coming off the roller, I said, Lord, I got them on the the cart, and I said, Lord, I need help because all the lines were filled up with going through customs. So I was in the middle of the floor, and I had this big
cart
with all the bags with the engine. I'm talking out, I'm praying out loud, Lord, I need help. And about that time, a man come from this side came over, and he said, can I help you? And I said, yes. And he said, do you have anything to declare? And I said, I have some truck parts. And he said, are they for sale? And I said, no, they're for my personal truck. And he says, well, good. And he had a piece of white chalk, and he started checking all of the bags. He didn't open them up. He just said, they're for your personal. There's no declaration. And so then the lines were still full. He said, come out this door. And then we went out the side door. Didn't have anyone to go through. That was the miracle. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Real quick, Brother Bill. When I was sitting back there and you said the word spearhead, the Holy Spirit dropped something in me that for this trip, and maybe God's been orchestrating things, but God has already been training or working on the plan of who's going to take place officially. And so I just want to say that I've really felt to pray that this trip, there's a seed being planted or just coming to even just the basic fruition that the next spearhead is going to come to light soon. You may not notice it this trip, but I know that we know God's got a plan.
Praise
but when
the
you
Lord.
Said that, the Holy Spirit said, so Jesus, as Brother Bill goes this time, Father, let there be a supernatural appearance, Lord God, a real divine appointment, Lord, that Brother Bill will sense in his heart that you have got something specific in plan, that him and Sister Cindy and the family, they don't have to worry. Mm. We know that we don't have to worry, but God, you'll make it so that we can start to see a little bit of that thing, that's going to happen to bring in the next generation that's going to go above and beyond, that this work will not die, it's not going to slow, but you're going to raise the next spearhead, the next material person, and that person is going to be evident and be filled with the Spirit and be full of fire and the truth in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I got one last testimony. The church that we built first is our biggest chapel, and it's called the Agova. That's our home church. And one of the young men that was working, that was a teenager, he was in secondary school, he worked on the building with us. And when he got through secondary school, he went to Accra, the capital, which is 150 miles away, for employment. And so for the past 15 years, he's been in away. But he comes back and visits home, but keeps in communication. He took our spirit with him because he was raised up. He was one of our own that we came from our loins. And so in the last 5 years, he's gathered souls and has planted a church. And so he came home. And when Pastor Lyons and the others came, we ordained him as a minister of the gospel because he's already performing the role of a pastor. He's done the work of an evangelist. He's gathered the souls. He has a church. And he sends us video clips on what they're doing, and they're singing and dancing. And And so that's the, we'll say, that's the fruit of the next generation. That it was spontaneous, but it was the outgrowth of the natural teaching that that was imparted, and they carried it and has started the work, you know, in another part of the country.
Amen.
So that's,
thank you, Brother Bill. Give the Lord a hand for Brother Bill. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Wow. Wow.